Yes, glory. Most of you are looking good today. I'll see if y'all caught that. God's good from the very beginning to the very end. God is good. All right. We're finishing up a series today. And it's been a good one. And today you better get your Bibles out and get ready, because we're going to do some intense Bible. Y'all ready for some? Who's ready for some intense Bible? All right. A lot of times I hear people say, why can't you come with a lighter sermon? Well, just remember this. Sermonettes make Christianettes. Amen. Y'all hear that? One more time. Sermonettes make Christianettes. I don't want to be a Christianette. I want to be a warrior for God. A warrior, not a warrior, a warrior. Amen. Get your Bible out. Get your Bible out. We're finishing up on Giant Still Fall, Part 4. Just when you think it's over, something else happens. How many can say that just this week? Just when you think it is over. Now, remember, I told you about when I left the Emmaus walk. I knew I was going to have to do one funeral. And while I was on the way to the funeral home to do the funeral, I get a call from another funeral home. Saying, we've been trying to get it with you all week. The problem was I was at Emmaus and I couldn't get to my phone. And so I wound up doing two funerals that day or that week. And I was thinking, man, one day this is going to calm down. So y'all, I want y'all to do me a favor and don't die anytime soon, okay? I know y'all got something to do with that, right? 1 Samuel 21, stand for the reading of the word. 1 Samuel 21, verse 15. Now this is we're going to really dig deep. I mean, we're going to dig deep today, so you want to take notes. And if you'd like to have a copy of these PowerPoint notes, you can have them anytime you want some. Why don't you just let me know, and I'll try to get some to you. But this is so important, because that's what we talked about, halt. This is the doorway to Satan. Hunger, and it's not just a physical hunger. You may be hungry for anything. Hungry for affection. Hungry to talk with somebody, hungry for companionship, hungry for food. When you're hungry, or when you're angry, or when you're lonely, or when you're tired, that is a doorway that Satan uses to come in. And this is very effective if you realize halt means stop. Yes, I'm hungry, or yes, I'm angry, or yes, I'm lonely, or yes, I'm tired. Go ahead and get ready. That was last week. Now we're going to go deeper this week. And here it goes. Now I want you to watch this. Get your Bibles out. 2 Samuel. I said first to start with, didn't I? 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. That's why it's good to have a PowerPoint up there. You can see where I mess up. I very do seldom mess up. Yeah, they messed up at Emmaus last night, and I said, yeah. I told my wife she has to learn to embrace her mistakes, and then she grabbed me. Second Samuel 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. Let's say a war. War. There's a difference in a war and war. A war means there's going to be a start and a stop. War means it's going to keep on coming. It doesn't stop. So in this world, we have wars that start and stop. But has the world ever had many times of peace? Because somewhere, war is always coming. Amen? So really, so war again with Israel, and David went down and the servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. These are some hard names to say, so, you know, what I can do is when I get to it, I can stop and let y'all say it. I first thought, I can say that better. I've heard it before, so what we're going to do is I'm going to stop at the words and let y'all say it out loud. Ready? Give it a shot. Just give it a shot. Ready? and Isabel. I'll do it. Never mind. I'll do it. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Now, he's coming down on David hard. All right? David's almost 70 years old. This David is way beyond fighting age, okay? And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succoured him, or put him back up and breathed life back into him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. The men of David swear unto him, saying, "Thou shalt not go out no more with us to battle, I can't even talk. Praise God! I just washed my tongue, and I can't do a thing with it. Ready? Thou shalt go no more out with." Y'all might want to read this for me. Amen. To quench the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabekah the Heshite slew Saph, which was the sons of the sons of the giant. And there was again battle in Gob, which with the Philistines, with Elhanan the son of Jairogim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And then there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on his hand 6 fingers, and on his foot 6 toes, 24 in number. He was also born to the giant. And when he had defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Stretch forth your hands this way, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that we can do nothing on our own, God, but we know with you we can do all things. I ask you right now, Lord, to open our minds and open our spirits and open our hearts. Help us, God, to listen carefully and understand this very poignant, powerful message today. This is something that will take them not only through this week, but it'll take them a long, long ways, especially when they find themselves wrapped up in war, spiritual warfare, and also to know that spiritual warfare in their life will never cease until the day they take their last breath. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. Say it. There you go. All right. Now, one night, a teenage girl had been talking on her phone for about a half an hour. She finally hung up. Wow, said the father, that was short. You usually talk for 2 hours or more. What happened? Wrong number, she replied. That sounds kind of funny, but you know what? When Satan starts calling you and talking to you, that's the wrong number. And it's no time to sit back and talk back. It's time just to hang up the phone or say, in Jesus' name, I don't have to hear this. Amen? Some of y'all in here right now, if you would get off the conversation with Satan, just get off the conversation with him today, your lives would change drastically. So let's go ahead. Just a few slides, not many, and then we're going right into it. A giant is anything that intimidates with its size. It threatens with its power. It seeks to take away from you. It stands between you and victory. So this, now think about it. So a giant don't have to be Goliath standing in front of you. It can be a thought. It can be something going on your job. It can be something going on in your family. But something that the devil uses to take you down. Okay? Now remember, when Christ said, "It is finished," we know that it was finished. Satan was defeated. But the problem is, Satan refuses to accept his defeat. Listen carefully. Satan refuses to accept his defeat. And because he refuses to accept his defeat, he's going to keep on coming at you, because he knows that if he can keep on at you, that you will finally give up and realize, instead of realizing he's defeated, you'll play right into his hand. So remember, we all have a chance today to stand strong in victory. So now, let's go on in here. Now, David was at the end of his ministry, and as he's at the end of his ministry, he realizes something. He realized that Goliath was not his only giant, but he was responsible for much, much more. Matter of fact, four more. Okay? And each one of these names is very important. Each one of these names is very powerful because each one describes a Satan's tactic that he uses to fight us in spiritual warfare. And so if you look at it and follow it down the Bible and follow the names down the Bible, you will see how Satan conducts spiritual warfare in our lives and what we can do to take on this. So here's one of your lessons, life lessons, and this is where it's from last week, the last from last week. As long, remember this, a lesson from spiritual warfare, life lesson, as long as there's life in you, as long as you're breathing, as long as you carry the message, there's going to be a fight for you. Don't think that he's ever going to stop. You may stop for a season, we talked about that last week, but it's just for a more convenient season. When he knows he can get a better grip. If he sees you starting to win, he'll back off and wait till he can find a better time to get you. So it's very important. And of course, you'll realize that the giants just keep coming. So first, the very first one, of course, we talked about last week was Goliath. Beheader. Now how does he behead? Then in that day, he actually took a head off. But if you go and look at it, we told you we're going heavy into the Hebrew today. If you go in, deep into the Hebrew, beheader means to literally to shame or to hold captive in your mind. Wow. That's worth repeating. Behead means to shame you and to hold you captive in your own mind. There's a lot of you here right now are blaming other people for things, not realizing they're not, you're blaming them for locking you in. The problem is you got the lock key in your own hand. I can blame somebody all I want to, but I'm the one holding the key. So if you want to take care of that lock, you take the key that God supplies and you turn it. And today we're going to turn it. Ready? So look, he keeps coming. And he keeps telling you that you cannot win. But remember this. Think of this. Always remember, you survived everything that you thought you wouldn't survive. So here we go. We're going to talk about the giants. He fought an opponent that refused to quit. Get ready. Of course, first, he fought Goliath. We talked about that already. The second giant was, get ready, was Ishbibenob, which means to dwell on high. Isaiah 14 says that Satan decided he was going to ascend. He was going to be over God. He was going to take his place up on high. And God said, no, that's not going to happen. And so watch this. In our own life, he will get pride in our way. Hey, has anybody here ever had pride get in your way? Obviously not. Or either, obviously, I went, bam. Pride. I'm the best. Nobody can do like me. Man, if everybody was like me, the world would be a better place. Really? Man, ain't nobody like me. Satan's distorted your thinking. Here we go again. Let her rip, take a shit. That was for special effects. Did y'all get that? Pride. Sometimes in your life, listen carefully because the Lord spoke this right direct to my heart. Sometimes I said, Lord, why is sometimes we feel like we got to drag everything? We got to pull everything. It's like things are just won't work and we're having to work so hard at it. And then the Lord spoke to me this morning while I was looking in the mirror, while I was brushing this man's teeth. And he said, it's called a pride zapper. And I said, well, Lord, when I was talking about the situation, I said, I don't have any pride in that. He says, really? Just keep brushing your teeth and listen. He You know, sometimes I allow difficulty in your life just to keep you humble. That's what happened. You see, the Bible does it all the time. He allowed things to happen to Paul so Paul wouldn't think he was greater than he was. So pride. God sends pride zappers in our life because Satan is the master of pride. The master. Adam and Eve in the garden, he used pride to get to them. Oh, hey, Eve, have you tried all the fruit in the garden? Well, God said we can have everything but this fruit here on this tree of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, God just don't want you to be like him. The problem was, Satan wanted the position that man had. And when they partook of the fruit, Satan got that position. He became God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Man was cast out of the garden. Now, Jesus, as Jesus is in the wilderness, he's been tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says, afterwards he hungered, halt, he hungered, and he was lonely, and he was tired. And Satan comes to him, and one of the great things he tells him, first make this stone, command this stone to be made bread. And he uses the word of God and says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And then he tells them, he says, cast yourself off the pinnacle. Lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he said, and he'll have your angels lift you up. And he says, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. But then, here he goes, pride. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The three, any kind of temptation falls in one of those three categories. And then he says, he put him on the pinnacle of the temple and says, or not on the pinnacle of the temple, on a high mountain, and he says, look at all these kingdoms. They can belong to you if you fall down and worship me. Satan's pride was in the way. What he was trying to do, he said, no, you should worship the Lord thy God. Him only. And what he was trying to do is, he was trying to take Jesus' position that he had. He got the first Adam, but the second Adam got him. So pride. Think about it. It's hard. This is hard. This is not easy. I don't enjoy this. I promise you, I don't enjoy this. But when I'm looking in the mirror and God points at me, not y'all, me. I said, God, why do we always keep having all these struggles? And God said, because I'm breaking your pride. And when I told him I didn't think I had any, he said, get ready, boy. Keep brushing your teeth because more's coming. I want you at my feet. That's where I want you. I said, okay, Lord. I'd really like that cup to pass for me, but if it don't, I'm here. That's a good way to brush your teeth in the morning, isn't it? Slosh, slosh, and oh God. You see, look here, here we go. He wanted the position that Christ had. The second giant, or the third giant, versus Goliath. Here's the third one. Get ready. Saf. Saf means to contain, to limit, to snatch away, to terminate. That's trials. So first, he gets in your head, and he distorts your thinking. And as he distorts your thinking, he gets you full of pride. And when you get full of pride, you don't even need God anymore. I got this. I got it, God. I don't need you right now. Put him on the shelf. I can handle this. And then here comes the trials. But he's got you. Because when the trials come, God's on a shelf. You've been trying to fix things yourself. As you try to fix things yourself, you got that distorted thinking, I can fix it myself. Then pride rolls up. It don't have to be this kind of stuff, pride. It's just, I can do it my way. I'll do it my way. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. So, and some people are full of pride and just as sweet as they can be, but they won't listen. If you won't listen, let me tell you something. If somebody's trying to talk to you and you won't listen, but you're sweet as can be, sweet as honey, you know what the problem is? Pride. I know better. I don't need anybody to help me. I know what I'm doing. Y'all listen to me. Pride. So, here you are. Trials are coming. They're rebuilding Israel. And Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, he's there before God, and Satan's on the other side, by his right hand. Satan's by his right hand. Satan stood, ready for action, by his right hand, that's his power and fellowship, to resist. That's what Satan's name here means, is to resist, to bring war, to bring struggle, to bring hardship, to make you humble down, and you're going to have to trust God. Now, the next name is, you're going to say, well, I didn't see this in the scripture. It's in there. In order to find this name, you got to go to the second version of this in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. So if you want to check it, check it. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5 is a summary of what we're talking about now. And this giant, although it's not named in the scripture I just read, this giant is named there. And he's Lami. Lami. Lami means to feed on, to consume, to devour, to overcome, to make war. That's strongholds. So I said, I just keep building them, building it up. Satan gets your mind distorted. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat some worms for breakfast. Or do it your own way, whatever. When you start to get your mind, then pride comes in. I know what I'm doing. I can handle this myself. I got it. Then the trial's coming. You ain't got it. But because your mind's distorted and pride has taken over and you haven't humbled yourself before God, then the strongholds come. It's one thing to be attacked. That's war. To be attacked is trials. But my freedom to go in and out of my fortress has been taken. That's a stronghold. And when you get in a stronghold, wow. I know this sounds all bad, but I'm getting ready to get you out of this. Everybody's getting ready to get out. Somebody say, thank God. So, the next giant. Didn't even mention his name. Even in 1 Chronicles, didn't even mention his name. Just talks about how big and bad he is. He's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Just powerful presence. It means to magnify. What he's done is to magnify. No name, but physical description is a confident boast. So after he gets you thinking wrong, this is spiritual warfare. It happens to all of us. From the cradle to the grave, and we're going to talk about that. It gets your mind messed up. It gets you thinking wrong. It gets you thinking you got it figured out. Nobody can change your mind. You got this. Then pride kicks in. After pride kicks in comes the trials. When the trials come in, now you're trying to fight it on your own because you got it all figured out. Then the strongholds come because you're no longer free to walk in and out of your fortress. And then here comes the confident boast. From Satan. I got you. I got you. You can't do a thing about it. You're going down. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 55 and 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, a stream, a flow. Of course, it says he'll raise a standard, but let's leave that part alone right now. He comes in like a flood because now he's got you. You can't do a thing about it. It's at this point, you either realize, humble down, let God take it, or you just start blaming everybody else. You got a choice right now. You can look in the mirror, like I did this morning, or you can look in the window and point. I'm so tired of pointing. When anything starts going wrong in my life, I look in the mirror first. Before I start pointing, I look in the mirror and say, God, what are you trying to show me? What am I supposed to learn from these trials? So let's get ready here. Get ready. Y'all ready to do some good stuff now? Y'all ready for good stuff? You can roll your feet in now. I promise you, we got some salve in the back room. It's called the Holy Spirit. Ready? Lessons learned in this. The first lesson is, you're never too old to be attacked. David's getting ready to, he won't be long, he'll be gone. He's still out fighting. He's old. And of course, he only lived to be 70, but still, he's old. He's in his late 60s, and he's out fighting giants. I reckon he'll be like Caleb, you know, 85 taking out giants. But he's 70. He's nearing the end of his life. Don't ever think you ever get to the point where you can't be attacked. Don't ever think you can ever get to a point that you got this. You see, all of David's life, Goliath's family had a warrant on him for taking out Goliath. He had this warrant. And in this last skirmish, the warrant finally got canceled. You're never too old. Secondly, verse 16, we just read it. You cannot. He realized he could not trust in the arm of the flesh. Can't. He grew weak. You know, the five smooth stones. The first thing about the five smooth stones is they were powerful. But he only used one. Why are they so powerful? Because it showed, number one, just him going up there with those five smooth stones showed that he trusted God. Then he did more than the stuff that the army had. He trusted God. And he used what he was used to. But also, five smooth stones is powerful because it shows he did not trust in his own self. What if I miss? I got four more shots. Then say he picked up one, that's overconfidence. He picked up five. That's why it's powerful. Because he knew God had to help him or it weren't going to work. Not only was five powerful, five was prophetic. Because he took down Goliath and four of his relatives. That's five. Sometimes you don't realize that what you do right now, when you trust God, is that somebody's watching you. Maybe it's the generation after you. Maybe it's somebody around you. And they watch how you handle yourself. They watch how you handle trials. I didn't even think about it. Well, just then, last night, Lynn and I were coming back from the Emmaus walk. I mean, from Emmaus candlelight. We're coming back, and we're down 264, and come around a curve, and there is a car totally, I don't mean just a little, totally engulfed in flames. The flames were higher than that ceiling. Totally engulfed in flames. The cars just slammed on brakes. And Linda said, watch out! Cars are coming behind me, cars on the side. And I finally stopped. And I pulled over, and I saw the people were fine. They were over here. They were fine. And I heard the rescue coming. Then I said, you going to do anything? I said, yeah, I'm going to stay right here. If somebody had been laying down there hurt, I'd have got out. But they were okay. State Patrol came. Fire came. EMS came. I stayed right there. And I waited till the patrolman said we could go. And while we're sitting there, you can hear the car blowing up. Pow, pow, pow. I'm 62 years old. I've never seen that, ever. Totally engulfed, high as a ceiling. Shooting up bottle rockets higher than that. Of course, my hat's off to EMS. Now, y'all guys are EMS, my hat's off to you. Because those guys didn't play. They come right in, jump right on that thing. And in just a few seconds, that car was out. It was amazing. As we're riding away, Linda said, "Wow, you were so calm. We could have been hit by the cars. We could have run right into that fire." All this stuff, she said, "You were just so calm and so cool." I said, "Thank you." And I thought about it later on, and I said, "You know what? I didn't know what was around that curve, but God did." I just left a meeting where we were praising God and having communion and singing praises to God, and come around this curve, and here's this car. I look over and see those kids are all right. So I just stay out of the way and just waited. And when the time was clear, we moved around. In your trials, if you can keep your hands off the stuff. If I'd have got out to get in that car, there was nobody in that car. The people were right there. There was a man talking to him. And it looked like he had a state license plate. He's there talking to him. So I'm going to stay there until I really felt the Holy Spirit say, "Okay, now get out and talk." No, I just stayed right there. All I kept hearing in my head was, "Hang tight. I got this. Hang tight. I got this. Hang tight. I got this." Some of y'all get in your trials if you could learn to hang tight. Why there's explosions. Why there's fires bigger than you've ever seen before. If you could learn to hang tight until God gives you instructions. Wow. Life would change. Immediately. If you ain't got to fix everything, just stay calm. Stay calm. So watch this. He could not trust an arm of the flesh. And we need each other. You can't go it alone. When those guys come up, we'll talk about that in a minute. The giant thought he had killed David. That's how bad he knocked him out. He hit him hard. I mean, he put a walloping on him. He come close to killing this man. And one of the mighty men, one of the warriors, come up and they pull David to the side and they bring him back. They do what they got to do, get him back and get him to safety. Then they go take on that giant and take him down. Remember this. You're never too old to be attacked. You can't trust the arm of your flesh. And number three, we need each other. We need each other bad. You see, the Bible says in Romans 15:1, the strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. That means to get up under and carry the weight for somebody because they can't carry it all the time. That's what I do as a pastor. You know, when I go to Pitt Detention Center, I get up under that weight. They'll get in that little room with me and I go, "I don't want you to think any worse of me when I get ready to tell you this." You know what I tell them? I say, "Dude, let me tell you something. I've been doing this 18 years. I promise you. There's some way I've heard your story before. You just go ahead and tell me and I'll be here for you." Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "It's good that two are together because when one falls, the other will lift them up." Now, let's get into the spiritual warfare again. Giants still fall. Each giant showed a different side of the devil's tactics. And look, here's what he wants you to do. Here's his plan. He wants you to focus on the giant and entrust your own strength to fight him. That's why he gets pride in there. You can be sweet as can be and still be full of pride. Remember that. You ain't got to be, "I got this." Sometimes it's all quiet. So, he wants you to focus on the giant and trust your own strength to get out. I promise you, you will lose every time. Each person that he shows defeated them shows us how to handle and how to counter spiritual attack. So let's go ahead and go to this. I promise I won't keep you much longer. Y'all ready for some good stuff? Please. All right. We already talked about Goliath, the beheader, and Ishbibenob. Now we're going to talk about who took them down. Do you notice that shape? Watch this shape. What's that shape? It's a cross. Watch it. David. David means burning, fervent love. I mean, everybody says, well, David means beloved. Yes, it does, but let's take it deep. David means fervent, burning love. Every David I know gives it all he's got. Has a fervent love for life and a fervent love for doing things. Now we're talking about God. A burning love. David was from Judah, the tribe of Judah, which means praise. When Goliath starts playing head games, he played head games with Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. It says 80 times he played head games with them over a 40-day period and had their minds thinking they couldn't win this fight. David praised God. He celebrated the cross. Of course, the cross hadn't happened at that time. But we know that the things in the Old Testament point to the cross. And so when you see that stuff, no, remember, it points to the cross. The New Testament points back to the cross. So one's pointing to the cross, one's pointing back to the cross. The cross is the center thing. So, celebrate the cross. When Satan's playing with your mind, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'm just going to give it up, I'm going to stop. Learn to say, praise God. I love you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Because you know what happens when you start celebrating the cross? As you start celebrating the cross, your mind switches gears. As you celebrate the cross, guess what happens? It's amazing. As you begin to celebrate the cross, your mind switches from, I got this, to He's got this. Wow. No longer have I got this, He's got this. So, David had a burning love for God. He celebrated the cross. Ishbibenob, which means pride. I love this. Abisha, the son of Zeruiah. Abisha means grace. And the son of Zeruiah means wounded, to leak, to flow. I love this. When David was going down and they thought he was dead, who came to his rescue? See, pride was trying to take him down. I'm old enough, I can do this, I can still fight. Pride's taking him down. I got this. No, he didn't have this. But grace came to his rescue. Man, oh man, I thank God that no matter how bad it's been all these years and all these deaths and all this pain, grace always stepped in. Always. Always stepped in. So number one, celebrate the cross. Number two, look to the cross. Isaiah 53, 1 through 12, I can't do anything on my own. I've got to. He's the one that was wounded for my transgressions. He's the one that gives me strength. I can't do it on my own. I've got to have God. So celebrate the cross. Then start looking to the cross. His wounds. He was wounded for this. Because he's wounded for this, I know that he didn't die in vain. So now, let's look at the next set of giants. Listen here, Saph. Saph, of course, means trials. And the one that took out Saph, Elhanan, which means to stoop down, the son of Jerorajim. Now remember, they could just call his name out, but they talked about who his line, his bloodline. It was important to stoop down, mighty and fruitful. Think about this. The giant he fought was trials. stoop down, and when you stoop down, you're going to be mighty and fruitful. Apply the cross. Get behind the cross. When I get in trials and I don't know what to do, I stand behind the cross. And I found out when I stand behind the cross, again, something amazing happens. When I celebrate the cross, I start putting it in His hands. As I'm putting it in His hands and I start going through this flow, something amazing happens. Because now grace takes over. And when grace takes over and I apply the cross now, man, oh man, Satan's swinging. He's hitting. You know, I remember I was getting ready to go preach one day. This was before I was pastoring. And I was getting ready to go to Edenton, somewhere up that way, to preach one Sunday. And I was trying to work on my sermon. I couldn't get it together. And DC was just a baby. DC's sitting in a high chair beside me. And I wasn't even sure what to preach. I was trying to figure out what to preach. God, you got to show me. God, I need you to show me. And DC said, going, Daddy. I said, please be quiet, son. I'm talking to God. He said, but Daddy. I said, DC, please be quiet. I'm trying to get an answer from God. He goes, but Daddy, look. And I said, DC, please be quiet. I'm trying to get an answer from God. And I said, dummy me, finally looked. And there was a bumblebee on the window. The screen was open. The window was open, but the screen was there. And the bumblebee was trying to get in, but that screen protected. And that thing was going, the stinger was coming out. And I knew that bee was not going to get to DC. But he didn't see the screen. All he saw was the bee. He was trying to get out of his chair. He wouldn't be quiet. And I finally said, son, look, there's a screen here. As a matter of fact, I went to the bee. And I went, watch this, son. And I thumped the screen. I have no idea where that bee went. And DC calmed down. And the Lord said, I just gave you a sermon, son. You need to tell them people that you're going to apply the cross. Here it goes. Ready? And here was the message. Psalm 91:1. I did the Amplified version. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. That was that screen. His shadow was that screen. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word go forth. It's not going to return to me void. It shall accomplish everything that I sent it to. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. We're almost through. We're getting close. Lama, to feed on, to consume, to devour, to overcome, to make war, stronghold. Plus the powerful presence. These are the last two. To magnify the confident boast. Get ready. Lama. Sebeka. The hush. Tight. Sebeka means to entwine. Hushatite means to cover or to bury. Hide in the cross. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, and in my flesh I live by faith. Finally, the powerful presence. the boast. Jonathan means to build up as a mountain. He's the son of Shammah, which means he is here. Now you got to think about this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that God would raise up a standard. A standard is something you can see. In the middle of the war, in the middle of the battle, have you ever seen pictures of battles and seen them on television? In the middle of the battle, people are trying to figure out which way they're supposed to go because hand-to-hand combat, there's smoke and there's fire everywhere and there's bombs bursting. And there's somebody carrying that flag. That's the standard. And you try to watch that flag, and wherever that flag goes, that's where you go. Anybody ever seen The Patriot with Mel Gibson? One of the most powerful things in that whole movie is at the very end. When his ragtag corps guys, who literally were no match for what they were getting to go up against. They've been fighting guerrilla warfare. And they could get them with guerrilla warfare. But now, part of the battle was his men were going to fight British style. Hit on. And when the bombs started bursting, when the guns started blasting, when guys started falling, his guys turned around and started running. And Mel Gibson went and got that flag. And he held it up high. And he began to wave it. And as he began to wave that flag, the troop rallied. And they come back. And they won. Hide in the cross. Look up and watch. Oh, excuse me, Jonathan, build up as a mountain. Ready? Here it is. Get ready. Trust the cross. Look up. Look up high. Look up high. Look up high. Look up high. You go ride down. When you ride down here, if you go down 33, there's a fish pond. By that fish pond, there's a bunch of eagles up in the trees. If there's bad weather, there's always other birds flying around. But in bad weather, you won't see any other bird in the air. None. They have to hide because they can't take it. But no matter how bad the weather is, you look way up high, and there's the eagle. Why is the eagle flying while everybody else is grounded? Because he chooses to fly above the storm. The other birds can't. They fly in the storm and can't take it. He flies above the storm and just soars with the wind. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you or elevate you in due time. DC, come here and get ready to play something. Bro, buddy, son, my beloved oldest one, the one I've been with the longest in this whole place today. He's the better part. He's the best of me and his mama. So he's DC excellent versus daddy getting old. Ready? These four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and the hand of his servants. You can handle spiritual warfare if you let God do it. No giant is a match for the cross. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. We used to sing that stuff. Nothing in my hand I bring, unto the cross I cling. You see, the cross is our assurance that we win. Very, 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 very powerful. And what I had last week, I just want to put up again because it was so powerful. I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. But I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. We are an army of sheep. And our lion is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Everybody to stand. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. First off, if you're here today and you're not sure where you stand with God, today's the perfect day. Because whether you accept God or not, you're still going to be spiritually attacked. We're not mortal people on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual people on a mortal journey. And no matter what, Satan's going to fight you. But in order to win this fight, you got to cling to the cross. So, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not where you would like to be with God, with nobody looking around, would you just raise that hand just so we could, that's just an acknowledgement so you can get God in on this. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Next, you may be here today, and as I started describing the giants, you may have found one, two, three, four, or all five of them messing in your mind right now. You just could have some distorted thinking. You could just be prideful. And pride does not mean that you're mean to people. Pride just means, I got this. I got it. I got it. Maybe you're going through trials. Maybe Satan has built a stronghold in your life, meaning you can't go and come as you please. Or finally, maybe Satan's got that confident boast and telling you just how big and bad he is. And how you couldn't win if you tried. If you see every answer, the cross was always involved. The cross was always, always, always involved. So now, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray together. And we're going to get God involved. You say, well, I got him involved. Well, let's get him involved a little bit more. Okay, let's get a little bit more in it. Because you never can get too much of God. Amen? Amen. So let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you right now, Lord, to help me learn to celebrate the cross. Help me, Lord, to learn to look to the cross. Help me, God, to be able to kneel at the cross and apply it in my life. Help me learn to hide in the cross. And Lord, help me learn to trust the cross. And help me to realize that Satan is no match for the cross. In the name of Jesus, nothing in our hands we bring, only to your cross we cling. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I saw a shirt one time and I wish I could find another one. I'd love to get one. It said, Jesus beat Satan with the ugly stick. And it was just a cross, the old rugged cross. He beat Satan with the ugly stick, the cross. God's